Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for attending to this talk. So I will introduce myself. So my name is Annabelle. I'm a PhD student. I work at Iowa State University, and I work also with, we collaborate with INRA, the French Institute of Agronomic Research, and also with Iowa Soybean Association. So the talk of today is about the analysis of on-farm data using Bayesian hierarchical model. So this is the outline of my talk. So I will start giving some information about on-farm research and explain the objective of this work. And I will also give you an example of an on-farm network. And then I will explain you our Bayesian generic framework. I will explain step by step this framework. And then I will conclude. So if you want to answer this question, how to estimate the effect of a new management practice on yield compared to a control? You have different kinds of research. You can use, for example, greenhouse, and you will, the viability and the environment are well controlled, but you will not test the new management practice under farm condition, and it could be also expensive. You can also use plot research, and in that case, the viability is minimized, and you will get balanced data. But these require specific equipment, and also yields are usually overestimated. You can also perform a meta-analysis, and in that case, the main advantage is like you will evaluate the consistency across study, and heterogeneity between study results may be explained. But could be an inconsistent design, there is a lot of methods behind, and heterogeneity of methods. There is heterogeneity of method and result. Also, you can have a publication bias. And then you have another level of research called on-farm research. It's defined as the research carried out on farmers' field and farmers' environment. So in that case, you will test the new management practice under farm conditions, and that's a great advantage. And also, you will evaluate the consistency across fields. But it's unbalanced across environmental variables, and the within-field variability is hard to control. Also, for now, few statistical methods are explored. So now I will show you an example of on-farm research. So we are working with data from Iowa Soybean Association. So you have the map of Iowa, and for the on-farm network, we have different farmers located across Iowa. Sometimes in some lobes we have more farmers than in other lobes, but for each farm, we have, this is the aerial view of one farm, so we use a strip trial experimental design. So here, I give you like the example. So you have different strips with the treatment, testing the new management practice, and the control without treatment. And we alternate treatment and control. So when you have a pair of treatment and control, it's called a replicate. So we have at least 3 replicates. In that case, we have 9 replicates, so 18 strips. And also, I want to mention that I will use the term cycle a lot of time for the next slide. So we are not collecting data every year. So cycle means one specific field with data collected for one specific year. So the objective of this work is to develop a generic framework to analyze data from on-farm strip trial and to provide graph and statistical analysis that can be used for different on-farm research. So that's the main goal of this work. And for that, we have different on-farm networks, but I will just develop one today. And the case study is an on-farm network testing soil-applied insecticide to manage corn rootworm in continuous corn. So the corn rootworm, as you can see here in the picture, you have the larvae feeding on corn roots. So this is a major insect pest in corn field, and yield can be strongly reduced. For that, you have different methods to manage the corn rootworm. You can use the crop rotation to break the pest life cycle. You can use BT trait products, and also you can use soil applied insecticide to provide an additional control. And also, for sure, you can combine these methods. And here I will show you some graphs, some descriptive graph about the raw data. So in that graph, you have the y-axis, you have all the sites. So we have 36 sites in this on-farm network. And in the x-axis, I represent the yield ratio. So the yield ratio is defined as the yield for the soil applied insecticide over the control without insecticide. So we have a total of 36 sites. We have two treatments, the soil applied insecticide and the control. And we have between 3 and 15 replicates per site. We have a total of 185 yield data, and 8 years of data are collected. So the yield ratio, so I will use the yield ratio for the next slide too. So when it's higher than 1, it means we have an advantage with using the soil applied insecticide. So here I present all the replicates. So one dot is one replicate, and you can see there is variability across sites, and also sometimes you have variability within sites, like for example that one. But you can also notice that lots of dots are close to one. So I put like the one using the black vertical line. Another way also to represent your raw data is to represent the yield ratio as a function of the yield at the control. So in that case, so also I'm using the dot, one dot is one replicate. In that case, 66% of the yield ratio are higher than one. And we make an assumption that low yield at the control may reveal a limiting factor such as pest pressure. So for example, for that case, we have like low yield value at the control, and we have yield ratio higher than one for 81% of the case. And also, if you want to have a look to your raw data, you can also plot your yield ratio and order the mean yield ratio by decreasing mean yield value. So this is the dot, and then you can also plot the minimum yield ratio you get with your replicate and the maximum yield value. And it will give you an idea about how looks the shape, if you have a lot of mean yield value higher than one or not, and also notice the variability within site. So for that, we have two main questions. What was the yield ratio in each individual site? And we will use all the data set. We will not split the data set per site. This is interesting because farmers want to know the yield ratio in their own farm. And also, what was the mean yield ratio for all farmers? And this is interesting. It will help farmers to make decisions in the future. So for that, we developed a Bayesian framework, and I will explain step by step. So the first step is to choose a candidate model. So here we use the yield ratio, the I represents the site, and J represents the replicate. We use the log transformation to normalize the data. So here we have a linear mixed effect model where the log of the yield ratio is equal to mu, the intercept, plus a site effect is random, and plus a residual error. And random site effect and the residual follow normal distribution, zero-centered, and with variance equal to sigma alpha and sigma epsilon. And we want to know also the confidence interval for each trial. So with linear mixed effect model, you will have approximate confidence interval for individual estimate. So another method to get your confidence interval, you can use the bootstrap method. So it means you will sample many times using your own original data set, and then you will get a distribution and you can have your confidence interval. But this can be slower to run and also less reliable with small data sets. And also, this method will not take advantage of the previous knowledge. Previous knowledge is what you can know talking with experts or reading literature. And that knowledge will be included in the Bayesian approach. And it's called prior in the Bayesian vocabulary. And this Bayesian approach will be also computationally efficient. So the next step is to define your priors. So you have to define priors for the intercept mu. In that case, it represents the distribution, the a priori distribution of the mean of the log ratio. And it's defined here by your Gaussian distribution. We consider that the distribution is zero-centered and with a variance equal to 2. It's zero-centered because if the ratio is equal to 1, don't forget we use the log, so log of 1 is equal to 0. And with the variance equal to 2, we assume we will cover a plausible range, a large range of yield ratio value. Then you have to define priors for the variance of the random effect and the variance of the residual error. So these priors follow an inverse gamma distribution with a parameter nu over 2. Nu is called a degree of belief. So how looks the inverse gamma distribution? So here you have different, in the red curve is the inverse gamma distribution, and here you have four distribution for four different value of nu. When nu is small, in that case, .002, you can see like the distribution is screw on the left and give more importance to small variance value. And at the inverse is like if nu is equal to 1, the distribution is wider and you will give more importance to large variance value and also not valuable value. You can see two dots in this graph. So these black dots represent the between and the within variance after running an ANOVA. So it's like a kind of empirical variance. It was a way to be sure we select the appropriate distribution. So we choose to select this distribution with nu equal to 0.002. Because give more this parameters, I mean, when you set the parameter equal to this value, you will give more importance to small variance value. After that, you have to run your model and to check the convergence and check also the autocorrelation. So for the convergence, you have like you can plot the convergence of the three chains of your Bayesian. And in that case, you have a convergence change mixed well between them. And in that case, you don't have the convergence. You can see it doesn't mix very well between chains. So if you don't have convergence, means you should probably go back to the first step, to the candidate model, and maybe there is something wrong. Also, you have to check the autocorrelation. And To be sure you don't have autocorrelation, every time you will get a spike equal to 1 because it's data with this step, so sure they are autocorrelated. And in that case, we don't have autocorrelation. You can see there is no spike. So here we are fine. But in case you have autocorrelation, you should thin your sample. And for example, if your thin is equal to 10, you will keep every 10 step. After all these steps, you will run your model and extract your output to answer the two questions I gave you before. So this graph answers the two questions, what was the mean yield ratio and what was the yield ratio per site year. So here it's the site year and in the y-axis you have the estimated yield ratio and the black line represents the 95% credibility intervals. So credibility intervals is like confidence intervals. It's just a specific vocabulary for Bayesian approach. So you can see like you have an H shape. Here the estimated ratio are ordered by decreasing mean value, estimated value. And to answer the question, what was the mean yield ratio? So you can see here the mean yield ratio is significantly higher than 1. And also you can notice that we have 9 sites here over 36 where the insecticide was significantly increased the yield ratio for this 9 sites. Because the confidence interval doesn't cross the line equals to 1, so miss is significant. Also, in 2012, so the blue color, we get highest ratio. And this can be explained because in 2012, the weather was dry and warm. So plants suffered by cornwood worms suffer greater yield losses. Also, here, I just want to mention that define your priority is an important step. So if you remember, when nu was equal to 1, we get a wider distribution, giving more importance to large variance value. And what happens if you choose that parameter nu equal to 1? So you will get something totally different. First, you can see that the mean yield ratio is no more significant. And also, you have a wider confidence interval for all the estimated yield ratio. And just 3 sites over 36 are significantly higher than 1. So just to notice, you have to be careful with these steps. And to give you some conclusion about that work, so this framework, I just want to mention something more, I'm sorry. So I told you can also use the bootstraps. So we did it, and we get something very similar. I mean, we get also this kind of shape, H shape. So that's something also you can do. So to conclude this work, so this framework is adapted for different on-farm trial data set. We try with other data set like testing the row spacing of soybean or seed treatment of soybean too. Here I use the yield ratio, but you can also choose to use the yield difference, so you can analyze the yield difference too. And also, this Bayesian framework was developed using the R package MCMC, GLNM, and it's an easy and fast way to implement. And also, you can also, candidate model can be made more complex by adding explanatory variables. So this part is still a bit on progress. We tried some explanatory variables. I didn't show you how to put today, but it's because we didn't get something significant from them. So thank you for your attention, and I will be happy if you have some questions.
We have plenty of time for questions. Mm.
Yeah.
You get different conclusions that you do this on a yield difference rather than a yield ratio.
Yeah, that's a good. That's interesting. So, sure, I know that if you use yield difference, sure, you can convert this in economic. But also with the yield ratio, I didn't mention that, but here you know if you have a yield ratio equals 1.05, means you have 5% of increase. But sure, you don't have the exact number in bushel per acre. So depends on your question, if you are more interested by economic output after that or not. Yeah.
What did you get out of the Bayesian analysis that you wouldn't have gotten from maybe a traditional?
Why I choose that one compared to a frequentist approach? Or another one. So, yeah, so it's not, but the story I start with linear mixed model using frequentist approach, And we were really interested by the statue, the yield ratio by statue. And it was a bit difficult to obtain the confidence intervals with these methods. And we know that farmers are really interested to get their own value in their own farm, and we want to provide them better confidence intervals. So, yeah, that's why we use the Bayesian. And also, I not mentioned that, but if we are developing some tools, and behind that, the Bayesian will be more computationally efficient, and it will run faster than the bootstraps. I mean, bootstraps can be a little bit slower and than the Bayesian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, so I will repeat the question. So the question is like, if we use different parameters for the prior, we will get different outputs, and how we can trust the prior which we choose?
Yeah, how do we know if that's the right one?
Yeah, how we know it's the right one. So sure, so this is a good question. So first in the Bayesian approach, to have a for random effect, to choose the small nu we choose, 0.002, is something classical. And also we check with between and with invariance the two dots I show you there. So you see the two dots. So that was a way for us to be sure we will not get something absurd, and to be sure, yeah, we get more variance value, and we prefer to have this distribution because give more, you can see it's screw on the left and give more importance to small variance value. And also we know in the literature this parameter is usually used for random parameters. So, and how you can trust a high variance value also for sidechain? I mean, looking at your data, you can see that you don't need like the high variance value for the site, for the random parameter, for the variance of the random parameter. So. So the question is, looking at this graph, what's the message behind we want to provide to farmers? So I will say, so yeah, just here, like we can see like 2012, you can see like we have Iris ratio and can be explained by weather data. But to explain the variability using covariable is still in progress, so maybe we can explain this using another covariable, because when the weather, I mean, using weather, you can predict weather, so it will not be very useful for farmers. But also, we can also say to farmers that at least the mean yield ratio was significant. So, for example, for these farms, the yield ratio was lower than one. But when you look at the mean yield ratio, it was significantly higher. So maybe this farmer will say, okay, maybe that year I was not lucky, and maybe I will try one more time in the future. It would maybe help farmers to make decisions looking at the mean yield ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if we have, so the question is what happens if we have the rivers? So I guess this is to help farmers to make decision if they want to adopt or not this new management practice. So
I'll chime in. We do have time for a round table discussion on this if you got more questions, but we should move on. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Michael?